Corlin and I have pastored in Montana, I think 38 or 39 years, and we've been involved in a variety of ministries. The longest one we did was we planted a church in Helena in 1994 and pastored it for about 22 years. And since then, we have been traveling a lot, speaking in various churches, and doing interim pastoring. We're in our fourth interim pastorate. When a church goes through a transition, they call us in to help guide the church and to help find a pastor and so on. And right now, we're serving in Chester, Montana. Anybody know where Chester is? Some Montanans have never heard of it, but it's up between Haver and Shelby on the High Line, and a dear group of people we just have fallen in love with. I do think they've found a pastor now who will be joining them, possibly joining them in a few months or a couple of months, so our time there will be coming to an end, but they're just precious people, and we just enjoy it so much. Something we started about a year ago is a ministry called Leader to Leader Ministries, and that is a reaching out to pastors. I have a real heart for pastors and Christian leaders. Pastoring is a wonderful joy. It can also be a challenge, and some pastors have given up and have quit ministry, and I just hate to see that. And so we've been reaching out to leaders, encouraging them and blessing them in various ways. We'll be holding retreats for pastors and so on. So if you'd like more information about that, you can talk to me after the service. I love praise and worship. Did you know that worship is what we're called to do? Did you know that every person on earth is a worshiper of someone or something? Some people worship Buddha. Some people worship Allah. Some people worship a tree in their backyard. Some people worship the new car in the driveway or their stock portfolio. We choose to worship Jesus. But everyone is a worshiper. Worship is so amazing. As we worship Jesus, God is so good, isn't he? That first of all, he's the only one worthy of worship. He's it. He's all. He's worthy. But God is so good that he pours out blessing on us as we worship. Isn't that amazing? I mean, he just pours it out on us. Now, some people have told me, oh, Pastor, I don't look for blessing in worship. Sorry, you're going to get it anyway. It's just part of the deal. God pours out blessing as we worship. And as worshipers, we have an authority in the spirit realm. I want you to catch that. We walk in an authority. I trust you're walking in that authority of that as a worshiper you have in the spirit realm. And we see barriers come down as we worship. We see dead things come to life as we worship. We see impossibilities become possible as we worship. And this morning, I'd like us to consider a familiar Old Testament story, probably many of you heard over and over, even as a child, where people obeyed and walked in their authority and saw the impossible become possible. I'd like you to turn to Joshua, the 6th chapter, if you have a Bible or your reading device there. Joshua 6, beginning at verse 1. Again, a very familiar story probably for most of us. It says, now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands. I want you to notice that. I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout. then the wall of the city will collapse and the people will go up, every man straight in. And again, you know the story. That's what they did. They followed those directions. Every morning they'd get up, they'd get assembled in that procession, and they'd head around the city, one time around the city, and they'd go back to the camp. They did that for 6 days. Okay, now we'll move ahead to verse 15. It says, on the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except that on that day, they circled the city 7 times. The seventh time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now I'd like you to move down to verse 20. It says, when the trumpet sounded, the people shouted. And at the sound of the trumpet, when the people gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So every man charged straight in and they took the city. I've entitled the message today, By Faith, the Walls Came Down. Would you pray with me right now? Father, thank you so much for this eternal word of God that is spirit and life, and we open our hearts right now. Speak to us through this word, Lord, by your spirit. And Lord, I just sense that there's some walls that are going to come down today as this word is received into our hearts. We love you, Lord. Amen. The people of Israel, of course, were told to conquer the land, but as they came to the city of Jericho, they faced what seemed to be an impossibility. The Bible says the city was tightly shut up. No one came out and no one went in. Now, I used to wonder, well, why don't they just go around Jericho and go to the next city? What's the big deal? But then I studied a little bit and I understand that in conquering the land, they had to have Jericho because Jericho controlled all the land routes of the area and all the water rights. You had to have Jericho. There was no question about it. Whoever ruled Jericho controlled the whole area. But again, the city was tightly shut up. No one went out. And no one came in. This was an impossibility, it seemed. And I think this is like some of the situations some of you are facing today. If we went around this room, and of course we can't, but if we went around this room and heard your story and heard some of the things you're facing and experiencing right now, it would look tough. Hard things, difficult, seemingly impossible. But take heart. Let's look at this word. Notice, first of all, God had already given Joshua the city. For some reason, that passage jumped out at me one day. God had already given them the city, but they're standing outside the walls, and it's tightly shut up. But God had already given them the city. God said, I have delivered Jericho into your hands. It's been accomplished. It's already done. Now go get it. And I think God would say that to some of you today. It's already done. Now go get it. That impossibility that's staring you in the face, that situation that seems so dark, so desperate, it's already accomplished. Now go walk around that city in obedience and watch it happen. See, too many times in my life, I must confess, I used to live by that old adage, I've got to see it to believe it. You ever say that to yourself? I've got to see it to believe it. Do you realize that's a very unbiblical statement? Because the opposite is true. I've got to believe it to see it. I love what 2 Corinthians 5:7 says in the New Living Translation. It says, we live by believing and not by seeing. Oh, I think that's what we're talking about. Romans 4:17 says, God calls things that are not as though they were. Oh, yes. Listen, friend, God has given you the city or whatever your situation is, that as you walk in obedience and in the authority of a worshiper, it's going to be yours. Now, notice number two, they encircled their obstacle with the presence. Their obstacle, obviously, was the city of Jericho. By the way, I did a little study on those walls of Jericho. I used to think that maybe they were, I don't know, 5-6 feet high, maybe made out of stone, you know, maybe about that thick. You could just come up and with enough battering ram, kick them over or something. But oh no, I discovered that those walls were 12 to 17 feet tall and approximately 6 feet thick. That's a heavy duty wall. That's pretty good. And, you know, some people used to live in the walls of the city. And some towns, they'd have chariot races around the top of a wall. These were big, big walls, seemingly impenetrable. But their instruction was to encircle the city every day for 6 days, with a procession that consisted of armed guards, priests blowing trumpets, the Ark of the Covenant. Do you remember what that represented? And was the presence of the Lord. And then another group of armed guards, and then the people of Israel quietly following behind. I used to wonder, why in the world did they make the people walk in silence? Ever wonder about that? I heard a man teach recently. He said, here's a theory. It's only a theory. But he said, God wanted them to walk quietly so there wasn't any murmuring or complaining. This is stupid, walking around a city. I don't understand this. What was Joshua thinking about? Where did he get that idea? You know, a little murmuring and complaining. I heard this guy say, more miracles have been aborted through whining and complaining. Ooh. Sorry, Lord, when I've done that. The Ark of the Covenant represented God's presence among his people. And folks, I could say so much about his presence, the presence of God. Wonderful things happen among us as we take time for his presence, as we welcome the presence, as we honor the presence of God. And I just encourage you, never get in a hurry in the presence of the Lord. It's in the presence where bodies are healed, where marriages are restored, where relationships are renewed, where impossibilities become possible. And as worshipers, faith arises and God's presence comes among us as we worship. I love what Joseph Garlington says. He says, through worship, we create an atmosphere of faith. Did you hear that? Through worship, we create an atmosphere of faith. Why did they march around that city for 6 days? Couldn't they have just walked in on the seventh day and gone around it seven times and shouted and see the walls come down? I believe that as they walked around that city, the faith level intensified. And it built. And it built day after day, day after day. And that is such a picture, friend, of as we wait in the presence of God and expect great things and keep honoring him and keep blessing his name. And the faith level rises. See, there's a reason we don't come into this place and say, good morning, everyone. Hey, let's pray for the sick right now. Because we need to spend time in his presence and enjoy his worshiping our Lord. And his presence comes in among us and good things happen in his presence. I pastored for a lot of years, and I know Sunday mornings can be a challenge to wait a long time in his presence. It's just hard. For years and years, we did two services in our church, And it's always a challenge. Pastor Lance knows this and the staff, especially with that first service. You got to get through it because there's another one coming behind it. And you got to get people transitioned and you got parking lot issues and all those things. So I understand that. But, and by the way, I love worship this morning, just being in his presence. But we need to do it sometime. Somewhere we need to just wait in his presence, not be in a hurry. We're in a hurry-up culture. You've heard teachings on that. We're just used to things happening right now. I was working on my iPad the other day, and can you imagine this? It took 15 seconds to load a page. I mean, I stared at that screen, and I thought, I've got problems here. There's something wrong with this thing. And the Lord spoke to me and said, come on, Norm, 15 seconds. But that's what we're used to, see? And sometimes we treat God like that. Let's just come into his presence and get this thing done with. I got things to do here. And yet there's something about just waiting. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Yeah. The old timers called it tarrying. Just tarrying in his presence. Sometimes they did for hours. A more recent term is soaking. Just getting before God and just soaking in his presence. I know that's tough. Again, I know that on Sunday morning, but let's allow for it at some point. I love to hear about these summits you have and prayer times and all that, where I imagine a fair amount of that is just in presence seeking, worshiping God. Well, this plan of God circling the city was rather unusual. I really wonder what Joshua thought when God shared it with him. Joshua, here's what I want you to do. I want you to circle the city. See, Joshua was an experienced soldier. He was a warrior. He was a fighter. He knew battle. And if there's one thing he knew, it is that you don't take a city by just walking around it. And yet that's what God told him to do. Just walk around that city. And so he obeyed. Has God ever told you to do something unusual? Just seemed kind of odd. We have three children. They're all raised. They're the most wonderful kids in the world. I'm sorry you thought yours were, but... And you know I'm being silly. But I do think highly of them, obviously. Our oldest is our son, who now serves in another country, serves the Lord. But when Andrew was about 15 or 16, we went through a challenging time with him. He didn't like the fact that he was a pastor's kid, and he didn't like all the ramifications of that some people laid on him. And the world was tugging at him, and his friends were drawing him down a road that greatly concerned Corlin and me. And of course, we prayed, and but I saw some things coming that I just was really, really concerned about. I remember telling the Lord, Lord, I don't want to pastor a church and lose my son. I'll go do something else if that's what is necessary, but I don't want that to happen. The Lord said, I want you to do two things. He said, first of all, I want you to go anoint the four corners of your property. Friends, I have a better understanding now, but at the time, I wasn't sure what that even did. But that's what the Lord said to do, so I did it, went out. And then he said this, I want you every morning to declare this word of God over your house. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. It's interesting because 20 years later, I'm still praying that every day I declare that into the spirit realm. Friends, there's great power in declaring the word of God over your situation. So I began doing that every morning, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then I'd look at my son, who didn't appear to happen. Do you know that 6 months went by? I didn't see anything. I didn't see any proof. But then I began seeing slight changes, small little things. Corlin and I would talk. Did you notice that? Wow, there's hope. And it's quite a story. I certainly won't go into it today, but today Andrew is really one of the godliest young men I know, and we're so proud of him. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. See, there's great power, friends, in declaring the word of God over your situation. It seems so unusual, but hey, amazing things can happen. Finally, number three, I want you to notice this. A shout brought down the walls and brought victory. And you know the story. On the seventh day, they were to do things a little differently. They were to circle the city once and then twice and then three times. And I wonder, and this is my speculation, but I wonder if the inhabitants of Jericho weren't up on those walls watching these crazy foreigners who think you can take a city by just walking around it. Maybe laughing a bit, maybe jeering, calling crazy things. But on this seventh day, as the Israelites went around the second time, and then the third time, and then headed into the fourth, I wonder if this spiritual intensity of the situation didn't begin to rise, and perhaps the Jerichoites started to get a bit nervous. What are these foreigners up to? Well, God's people had been told what to do at a certain signal on that seventh day. And of course, verse 20, we read it, says that at the sound of a particular trumpet, the people were to give out a shout. Friends, I suggest to you this was a shout like none that's ever been heard. Imagine, you've been waiting 7 days for this opportunity. You've been trudging around this city in silence for 6 days prior, and suddenly on this seventh day, this is your chance. I believe this was a shout that wasn't just heard in the city of Jericho. I think it reverberated in the heavens, and I think it rattled the gates of hell. Why do I say that? Because it was a shout of faith. Hebrews 11:30 says that. It says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell. By faith. When the people shouted, the walls collapsed. Victory was theirs after that shout. Again, imagine the shock on the people of Jericho as those walls that were so impenetrable and closed so tightly shut, when they fell down and those Israelites rushed in. Now, friend, this is such a picture of the battles we face today. It's just such an amazing picture. Perhaps a battle that many of you are involved in right now. I remind you that as we walk in obedience to Him, even though He might tell us something to do that just seems odd or unusual, but as we seek His presence in a powerful way, and realize this, that things are already accomplished in the spirit realm. That city was already open. Now they had to do it. And that may be your situation. It's already accomplished in the spirit realm, but now you need to go do it and fulfill what God has told you to do. Friends, as we step out in faithful obedience, we'll see some amazing things happen. I just want to assure you of that. We'll see some walls come down. Patrick, if you and the team would come back. I've asked Patrick to lead us in an old Hillsong tune that is so fitting for this shout to the Lord. As they get in place, I want to just give you a little PS on the story I told you about my son. Something else the Lord told me to do during that season of our lives. He said, I want you to walk through your home and lift your voice in praise to me in every room. I said, yes, sir. And so I began walking through that house. We have a large home. And I walked into every room. I just began lifting my voice in praise to the Lord. Every bedroom, the living room, the kitchen, the utility room. I think I went into the garage. I might have poked my head in closets. But I just lifted my voice to the Lord. I spent extra time in my son's room just lifting my voice to the Lord. And we saw a bondage broken. Friend, I'm not suggesting worship is some kind of magic pill that we take. But I'm telling you this, incredible things happen. As we worship, as we welcome presence, as we exalt the Lord. And as we sing this song today, I want to challenge you. I want you to present that thing that you're facing today that seems so formidable, that seems so impossible. I want, and as we give a shout to the Lord in this song, let's declare that that thing's coming down. Let's stand together this morning.